Turn to Proverbs 7:22. This will be our last verse for tonight. So the strange woman has given her speech to him in the last several verses here, and she caused him to yield and forced him by her fair speech. And here's what happens. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. So let's look at that first part. He goeth after her straightway. To go after, that phrase, means to go in pursuit of, to visit as a wooer or a disciple. So he pursued her, in other words. That's the beauty of this woman's seduction, is that she didn't have to forcibly, physically make him do anything. She talked him into it, and then he just followed her right in. Once she laid the groundwork and got his lust going, he just went right after her. He went straightway. Straightway, number one, is by a direct course, straight from one from or to a place. That was last used in 1587, which was a while before the King James was translated. Secondly, it means immediately, without interval or delay, at once. And this is in the context here what this would be referring to. He didn't wait any time. Once she had finally allayed his fears by saying, hey, my husband's gone a long while, he's taken a bag of money, he's not coming home till the day appointed, at that point, straight into her house. Immediately, he didn't waste any time. So he is led away by his lust. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 6. And this is just interesting. There's two or three verses here in the Bible which talk about lust leading people away. And this is exactly what the strange woman did. She used his lust to lead him. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 6. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Now in this case, it's men, heretical men, leading away silly women laden with sins. But I'm just going after the idea here, the principle, is that people are led away of their lusts. And you take a person that is lusting after something and that wants something really badly, it's so easy to control that person. It's like you just take, it's like a, you ever see a bull with a ring in its nose? You just grab that ring, and I mean, you can take that big, great, big old bull. A bull could weigh 1,000 pounds, and you grab hold of that ring, and you can lead him wherever you want by that ring in his nose. Well, it's the same way. You can lead somebody around by their lusts. No problem. Women can do it to men very easily. How many people go to a car dealership and start looking around and lusting after these really nice, expensive cars that they can't afford? And then the salesman comes out there and starts playing into that lust and saying, oh, you can afford it. I mean, you pay on it for 7 years, you know, da, 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 whatever. And before you know it, he's led him to the real expensive one by his lust, and the guy bought something he should have never bought, didn't intend to buy, but ring in his nose, salesman just grabbed that thing and took him. It's really easy to do. James 1 and verse 14. That's why people, you've heard of buyer's remorse, right? Because when you're buying something, you're following your lust, and then when your actual logical, rational mind kicks in afterwards, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Why'd I do that? James 1 and verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Drawn away. Drawn means to pull with force. And it's a spiritual thing. Obviously, it's not a physical thing. But when you can take somebody's lust and exploit that, it's literally like you're pulling them with force to you. And women can so easily do that with their clothing, with their speech. You know, men can do it too, but women have an advantage because men have a real weakness there. And this is what that woman did. and turn back to Proverbs 5 and verse 20. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Now, ravished means carried away by force, violated, ravaged. Now, we looked at this verse a while back, but the strange woman is not ravishing the man like a rapist sicko would ravish a woman, right, by physical force. But she accomplishes the same thing. It's just by a different means. Now, if the young man would have instead been going after his God straightway and delaying not to keep his commandments, then he wouldn't have been led away by the strange woman. Because going after somebody straightway is a good thing if that somebody is God. Look at Matthew 4 and verse 20. It's like so many things that I've said this previously, there are so many things which in and of themselves aren't necessarily sinful, but it depends on who the object is for the thing. And, you know, going after somebody straightway, like not wasting any time, not delaying, and just jumping right into it and acting immediately, if that is focused towards God and obeying Him, that's a good thing. Matthew 4 and verse 20, I'll give you an example of such. This is when Jesus called the first of His disciples. Now, mind you, these men had never met Jesus before. He's walking by the sea and he sees two brethren, Peter and Andrew, and they're fishing. They're at work. Never met him before. And what's he say? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says one sentence to him. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Just like this guy goes after her straightway. They straightway, immediately, without interval or delay, at once, they just left. They left their job and followed Jesus. Now, that takes a lot of faith, especially when you don't even know who the guy was. I mean, there must have been something about him. He had an aura about him, right? That, I mean, clearly, if it would have just been some Joe Schmo walking on the sea, they wouldn't have done that. But there's something about that. You know, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, right? There was something about Jesus. They just picked up, left, and followed him. And that's a good thing. We should not delay to follow the Lord and keep His commandments. Psalm 119 and verse 60. When there's something that we know we should do, and we read a commandment in the Bible, well, today is the day, right now. I mean, there's you don't need to deliberate or think about it. It's just time to act. Psalm 119 and verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now, of course, the Bible also warns us against being hasty. There's plenty of times in the scriptures where we're not supposed to be hasty. But you can be as hasty as you want when you're following God, when you're keeping His commandments. Mm-hmm. The more hasty, the better. Mm-hmm. It says, He goeth after a straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Now, because oxen are brute beasts, they don't have any understanding. Psalm 32 and verse 9 establishes this. I'm sure you already knew this if you've ever been around oxen or any other animals for that matter. Some of them have a little bit more intellect than others, but none of them have a logical, rational mind. You can't sit down and reason with any type of animal. Psalm 32 and verse 9. It says, Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. They don't have understanding. Just like the bull with the ring in his nose, the mule or the horse with a bit in his mouth, you have to lead them about. You have to direct their moves if they're going to do what they should, what you need them to do. You can't just explain it to them. Right, you have to make them do it. That's the nature of beasts. The difference between us and beasts is that we have a rational mind, that God, theoretically, He should be able to just tell us to do things and explain to us, and we do it. When we don't do that and we start acting like the beast, guess what God does? He puts the bit in our mouth, and then He makes you do what He wants you to by putting you in difficult circumstances and beating on you for a while. So, you know, we can act rationally like human beings and obey because God said, or we can wait and have him make us do what he wants us to do.
But I view it as grace in itself, that he is still wanting to direct you to the right way.
Oh, it is.
Because if he doesn't care about you, then he'll just let you...
Yep. Oh, that's right.
So it, in itself, it's grace.
Yep. Yeah, but both of them are. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, the Lord chasteneth those whom he loves.
The other one hurts, though.
Mm-hmm. That's right. See, oxen, they don't realize when a farmer has devised evil against them and he leads them to the slaughter. And I'm actually not even just making this up. This is in Jeremiah 11:19. It does talk about essentially a farmer devising evil against his beast when he's ready to slaughter him. Jeremiah 11:19. But the poor old oxen, he doesn't know what's going on. He just... Maybe, I don't know how farmers do it, put a little bit of food out there in front of him or something, and he just walks right on down. Okay. Boom! He's dead. He didn't know it was coming. Jeremiah 11:19, just like this young man, just like an ox, just walking on. Okay, well, she said her husband's not going to be home for a while, right into her house. Jeremiah 11:19 says, but I was... like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. So he's saying, I was like a lamb or an ox. I didn't realize they had devised this against me. I didn't know they were going to kill me. Just like the ox doesn't know. But see, the oxen, he's got an excuse. The ox has an excuse for his ignorance and simplicity, because he's an ox, right? He just, you know, I mean, it's not like somebody's going to say to him after he walks right into the slaughter, say, what were you thinking? I mean, can't you see? I mean, the guy ahead of you just walked in there and got his head lopped off. I mean, hello? Well, he's an ox. I mean, he didn't think, right? He's got an excuse. But the man that goes after a strange woman, he doesn't have an excuse. He lacks understanding that he should possess. Proverbs 6:32. You remember this verse. It says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. He's just like the ox that goes to the slaughter. You see, he thought he was being honored by the strange woman through her flattery. I mean, it did sound like quite an honor, right? I've been looking for you. I finally found you. I've got peace offerings with me. I've got food. I've got this really nice bed. It's perfumed. It's really decorated up nicely. Come on, let's take our fill of love until the morning. Or he's feeling like he's being pretty honored here. But being without understanding, he was like the beasts that perish. Psalm 49:20. I'm using the principle of this verse. This isn't in context exactly what this is talking about, but I think you'll get it. Psalm 49:20. It says, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. So this is an honor and esteem among men. And also a man that is in wealth is said to be in honor there too, because it talks about, verse 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, and so on. Their inward thought is that their houses will continue forever. So this is the type of honor he's talking about. And the man that is in honor and doesn't understand is like the beast, right? If you can have all the wealth and all the riches and all the notoriety and the reputation, but if you don't have understanding, you're just like the beast that perish. You're just like the young man that goes into a strange woman and ruins his life. Doesn't matter how much money you have. If you do stupid things like that, your life's over, just like the ox. Now, growing up as a Jew in Jerusalem, he would have certainly known the whatever commandment it is, thou shalt not commit adultery, right? Exodus 20:14. Clearly, he would have known this if he knew anything. I mean, certainly the Jews knew the Ten Commandments, right? Even if he wasn't a practicing Jew, he certainly would have known that. But he obviously did not receive that instruction, and therefore manifested himself to be just as stupid as an ox. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. It says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." You know, we don't know what he was taught at home. Chances are, if he ever went to the synagogue, I don't know if they had synagogues back in, they probably didn't even have synagogues back in Solomon's day. But if he had gone to the temple, he no doubt had heard the priest teach that you shouldn't commit adultery. I'm sure his parents taught him they shouldn't commit adultery. What kind of parents wouldn't? And clearly he must have despised that reproof, or else he wouldn't have been where he was doing what he was doing. And therefore, the Bible says he's brutish, which means like a beast, stupid.
So he resisted because he was afraid of the consequence of his action. But he still gave in because even though he had heard the commandment, he was not really convicted by the Lord's commandments.
I think that's a reasonable conclusion, yes. Because he did resist, we know from the previous verses. But obviously his resistance was not based on some really firm conviction in the Word of God. It was probably based on, ooh, I could get in trouble for this. I could get killed for this. Who knows who might be seeing me, like the king, or her husband might come back. And so, yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good conclusion, that his resistance was more pragmatic, more practical, and once she overcomes that with saying, "My husband's not coming home," he's not too worried about it anymore. Just like an ox, just walking right in there, ready to get slaughtered. And then it says, "Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks." Now, I think it was in the study that we've been doing on suffering, and I said that the Oxford English Dictionary did not have the word stock in it, referring to the stocks. And apparently I just didn't look down far enough or something, because it does have it in there, and I have it in this outline. It says that a stock, in the plural, so stocks, is an obsolete instrument of punishment consisting of two planks set edgewise, one over the other, usually framed between posts, the upper plank being capable of sliding up and down. The person to be punished was placed in a sitting posture with his ankles confined between the two planks, the edges of which were furnished with holes to receive them. Sometimes there were added similar contrivances for securing the wrists. So not exactly an enviable position to be sitting there with your legs between two pieces of lumber with little round holes in there, and more than likely the round holes aren't quite big enough for your ankles to fit in there comfortably. So you got this big heavy piece of lumber right on your ankles, and you got your two bones there, your shin bone. I mean, there's like no muscle above that hardly at all. So you got this great big beam right down on that shin bone. And that would be very painful, I can only imagine. So what kind of an idiot would go to the stocks voluntarily? Right? Nobody would do that. I mean, you'd have to be stupid if somebody says, "Hey, we're going to be hanging out at my place tonight. We're just going to sit around in some stocks for a while. You know, anyone come over?" I mean, nobody would do that and think, "Oh, yeah, that sounds like fun." Yeah. I mean, you'd have to force somebody to go to the stocks, right? You'd be a fool to go voluntarily, clearly. That's not something that you can talk somebody into. I mean, you have to be forced to go to the stocks. "So the fool that goes to the stocks has pain and suffering awaiting him, and so does the man who's led away by a strange woman to her house." Just like the ox to the slaughter, the fool to the stocks, he's got pain at a minimum coming, and punishment and judgment, and maybe, like the ox, even death coming to him. Because that's what Solomon goes on to say there in the remainder of the chapter, when he says that her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death, which we'll get to here in a couple of weeks. So that takes care of verse 22. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.